Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 17th day of March, year 2024. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is Tidbits and Open Forum. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the broadcast. Prinhonda, Cumriambeth. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. There are many pages there, so the Daily Mail page is where we put links to up current events and information on prepping and health, etc. The home page is where you get information on how to help us out with a donation, if you feel led to do so. And for those who do, thank you very much. There is a Contact Us page if you do not have my personal contact information, and you can send me a message there. As I was telling some of the early signers on here, this is a bit of an unusual day because I had a very unusual night. And so I ask your indulgence and forgiveness if I don't sound quite 100%. And we do things a little bit different this morning. I do not feel that the Father led me to talk about one particular subject this morning. And so what I thought I would do is just go over some of the highlights of news items that I have been picking up on and what the Holy Spirit's been telling me. And then we would open it up for open forum in case any of you have issues going on that we can address as a group, as a family, which is pretty much what this program's been all about. I did send a copy out of a fan mail that I got from the gentleman who wrote that book, Man on a Mission. Mitchell is a friend of mine. I've never met him personally, but we've been telephone and email friends for quite some time. And he wrote a very, very nice email. And he was talking about the fact that he is in contact with an awful lot of people. And according to him, many people are waking up. So hallelujah for that. They're aware of the treason within our governments. They're aware of the spiritual nature of this warfare. And many of them are seeking Yahweh. They're seeking answers. And they are asking him about Christian identity. I leave the Christian part out. I just call it identity. And when they ask about identity, he'll often tell them to come to this platform, either my website or the show. So that was good news. And that might also explain why I'm seeing many of the content creators addressing issues from a perspective that you would typically find from our crowd. And I find that very uplifting, actually, that Yahweh is using the things that we as a collective here, a family, the reasoning and the ideas that we put together, he's using that to wake up thousands, if not millions, of our brethren all over this earth and truth seekers in general. So very, very good. And that sort of bled over into an interview I watched with Stu Peters and Ken O'Keefe. Now, Ken O'Keefe is very, how shall we say it, in your face when he gets on a rant. And in this particular broadcast, he was definitely on a rant. And so was Stu Peters, to believe it or not. And Stu Peters confessed Christ on that interview, that he is a Christ-following believer. So that I found to be very interesting. But Ken O'Keefe talked about things that need to be done, which, again, fit in line with what we've talked about. He talked about circumcision being mutilation, and it needs to be stopped. He talked about the fact that the committers of treason within our man-made governments need to hang from ropes. Again, things that we've talked about. That this is a spiritual war, not not a physical war of sorts, even though there are people being harmed and certainly people dying due to the miscreants that run this world. But it was very interesting that they were very strong proponents of many of the things that we've talked about over here for years, years and years and years, including getting back to the basics, getting back to natural health, getting back to gardening and growing our own food, preparing our own food, stop going to all these corporate stores, these big box stores, they call them, for all of your food needs and all of your other needs. You know, most of the history of our people on this earth, we were self-sufficient. We didn't need corporate entities to provide for us. We were tempted into that when it was made cheap and easy. And typical of Israelites, we tend to follow our passions, desires of the flesh, and we tend to take the easy way out. And that, I'm not saying that to be critical, because I'm guilty of it like everybody else. However, that was the bait to get us to go into this Babylonian system. And it has turned on us now. And we knew this day was coming. We talked about it for decades. The whole reason for the banking collapse, we call it the Great Depression, but that was orchestrated. That was a planned event. That was not a, quote, accident. It started, of course, with the creation of the Federal Reserve, which is against the Constitution. It was done very surreptitiously and dishonestly by our so-called representatives, which they're all criminals. That's why it's Washington, D.C., the District of Criminals. So, you know, they put this thing in place, and then they made credit easy. So, like my grandfather, everybody borrowed money to buy land, buy extra farm equipment, to build their farms up and everything, improve their homes, whatever, because there was, quote, easy money, much like we've seen here recently in this time frame. So once they've got everybody on the hook, then they pulled back the supply of money, which they're doing today through inflation, taxation, and manipulation and bailouts, okay? But effectively, it's the exact same thing. You flood the market with easy money, and, you know, our people, of course, fell for it. You know, my generation and the ones before it, it was gay old time, party, party, party. Nobody paid attention to what these scoundrels were up to. And so in the 1920s, it was the same thing. Everybody was having a gay old time. Remember the roaring 20s? Party, party, party. And then all of a sudden, the Jewish bankers got together and said, okay, now it's time to pull the plug, cut the credit, cut the source of money. And pretty soon, there's a whole lot of businesses, companies, homes, farms, real estate for sale, for pennies on the dollar. And of course, the Jews are holding all the dollars, so they end up absconding with a tremendous amount of wealth. Well, they took that wealth and turned it towards taking even more control, because they operate just like a mafia. Okay, then they use that ill-gotten gain to take even more control, and so now they've orchestrated it to the point we see today, where they're doing exactly the same thing pretty much exactly 100 years later. They're setting us up for another, quote, they call it the reset, but it's not a reset, unless you want to talk about their manipulation of the markets, manipulation of money. A reset meaning the 1928 crash, they're going to reset and do another crash approximately 100 years later, and end up taking everything this time, okay? They're in position now to take total control. So this is what they're calling the Great Reset, which is just a euphemism by a Jew saying that we're getting ready to pull the rug out from underneath all of you simpletons that believe the bullshit we've been feeding you, and we're going to take possession of your farms again, what little's left, take possession of your homes. We're going to drive the white man out of his countries. That's their plan, okay? Now, Yahweh says that he sits up in heaven and laughs at their machinations because they're not going to succeed. But that is their plan, nevertheless, just as it was their plan to stop Messiah the first time by murdering all those male children in Bethlehem. Now, remember, they didn't kill just babies. They killed the boys 3 years old and younger. Because the manger scene and what you're told in all the Christmas stories about the birth of Yeshua are complete fabrication. If you read the books by Stephen Collins, the archaeologist from Michigan, you would find out that his birth was much more reasonable in its happening compared to the Hollywood version that you and I have been spoon-fed by churchianity and Jewish-controlled media. Okay, so they killed the boys 3 years old and younger because it took a long period of time. Okay, the wise men didn't go find a babe. Okay, that's what you're told. They found a young man, a young child. So they had to kill all the boys from 0 to 3 years old in order to kill what they thought was going to be Messiah. So again, when you read his books and you understand about the Magi, which is the name that the, quote, wise men went by, there wasn't just three. There was many of them, and the entourage that came from the east looked like a small army that came to Jerusalem to pay honor with a whole wagon train of treasure and cavalry and attendants, etc. So it was a very magnificent event. In fact, there are scriptures that lead you to understand that, because it says that the city of Jerusalem was fearful when this entourage approached. They thought it was an invading army. Again, so we're lied, just like the animals into the ark, two by two. Well, that's funny. It says in my Bible that there were seven of the clean versus two of the unclean. But they never talk about it. You see how they control the narrative whenever they want to feed you a bunch of bullshit and lies and deception. So everybody walks around going, well, it was two by two into the ark, all the paintings, all the children's books, etc. But what about the seven? Well, they don't want you to think about the seven because that would make you ask, well, why were there seven of the clean and only two of the unclean? Because the clean were for food. Not just for reproduction. They had to eat the seven clean while they were on the ark. And if you ask about the clean and unclean, that's going to lead you into further discussions about, well, wait a minute, maybe there's clean and unclean food today, which those of us into natural health know that there is clean and unclean. So case in point that our enemies want us sick, they want us debilitated so that we are not able to reason as men and women upon the land, and so they're doing everything they can to make us sick mentally, spiritually, and physically. That's why they put the poisons out, they mandate the vaccines, etc., etc. They want you sick because a sick person doesn't think straight. A sick person is more fearful. A sick person is less likely to pick up a rifle or a sword and come after their sorry asses. And that's why for 24, almost 25 years now, we have talked endlessly about health issues. All right? The enemy wants you sick, not just because they're going to make a lot of money off of it. That part's true. But because they want you dead. They want you to not be able to resist their efforts to take over this world. And that's what we're witnessing. This is the final push for the Jewish Bolshevik communists to take over the world. So we've reached it. as Ella and other people who have written to me recently have put a timeline together that points to 2024 being the big year. Now, when I say big year, it's not just big in the sense of the evil that's being planned and they're going to try to implement. It's also big in the sense that the righteous are going to take a stand. I'm seeing indications of that now, and people need to be aware of that because the Jewish-controlled media is never going to let you hear about anything positive going on because, again, they need to keep you in a state of fear. People who are fearful are easily lied to, easily led astray, and easily intimidated. When you stand tall as a man or woman upon the land in the name of Yahweh and declare your sovereignty as his son or daughter, they lose power and they can't stand that. And so they are really pushing the assault upon us. And that's why I said at the beginning of the program, I think last night was an attempt by them upon me, whether it was supernatural or of this world, I don't know. I just know that last night was a night I've never had in my entire life, as far as symptoms and things I had to deal with. And I'm not asking for your sympathy. I'm just simply saying if it's happening to me, you can pretty much be sure it's happening to other people. As Ella has recently gone through a somewhat traumatic experience, at least I consider it traumatic, something totally out of the ordinary for her, and many other people that contact me are having the same thing happen. So we have to understand that this warfare is going on. This is a spiritual war, and our enemy is going to throw at us everything that they possibly can, at the very least to cause us pain and suffering so that we are less of an adversary to them. And then they really win if it causes us to succumb and leave this world. But the one thing I did really, really like about Stu Peters and Ken O'Keefe's interview was that they talked a lot about the spiritual aspect of this war and how important it is for all of us to stay true not only to ourselves and to each other as brothers and sisters, but the importance of our Heavenly Father who created us. Now, I know a lot of people say, well, I can't understand why this Yahweh or Jewish God, and they call him a Jewish God, which is ridiculous. Moloch is the Jewish God. But they say, I can't understand why a, quote, loving God will allow all this stuff to happen. I sent out a meme a few days ago which says it perfectly. It's a young man on a bench talking to Yahshua, and at least they got that right. It looks like he's a white man, but his hair was lighter colored than that. But he's complaining about why are you allowing all the disease and the death and the violence and all these nasty things that are going on in our world? And Yahshua looks over, he goes, well, it's interesting that you bring that up because I was about to ask you the same question. Perfect meme for what I've been trying to tell people for a long time. When my brother and his wife lost their son to cancer at 28 years old, in the prime of life, they, like so many others, turned against our Father. They did not denounce him completely, but there was a lot of anger there, a lot of resentment that he, quote, allowed this to happen. And as that meme demonstrates, I try desperately to make them understand that the Father does not, quote, allow these things or even cause these things. They happen because of our either doing or not doing what we should do. We have the tools to fix the problems. But do we have the intestinal fortitude? Do we have the will to fix the problems? That is the question. I've seen the same thing in natural health. I learned the ways of natural health and went and took all the classes on my own time and my own money many years ago, with the purpose not only to learn it for myself, but to help the people I care about and love, and for those that would come to me and ask. I have been greatly disappointed in the number of people that sought out the wisdom of natural health. Greatly disappointed amongst my friends, close associates, and family. I thought they would say, "Dan, I mean, you're aging well. You don't have any medications. You seem to be in pretty good shape, even at this age. Why don't you tell me about this? I would like to know." That was how I perceived things to go. I was wrong. I was wrong. Most people aren't interested, even when they can see it. This makes scripture come to life for me when scripture talks about the fact that Yeshua's countenance was forlorn because of the state of his creation, of his children. Remember, Yeshua is our Father in a flesh body. They are one and the same. Different manifestations, but still the same entity. So here is our Father who created this world, who put us here with a mandate to keep this world, to keep law and order, and to keep sanity. And given all of the gifts that we've given, and yet they turn to do the wrong things constantly. They show no interest in doing what is right. And so he was very despondent over that. Even when he performed miracles, even when he walked before them, and it was obvious by his countenance and the things that he said that he represented truth and wisdom, even with all of that, very few people seemed to be interested. And so today, it's not much different. We who study the word, scriptures, for truth, and we point out the errors, and there are many errors in the English translations. When we point those out to people that are caught in this churchianity system that we have today, this lying church world, they renounce it. They seem to love to have their ears tickled, as the scripture says, which means they like the soft-sounding lie. They like the pretty lie. In other words, tell me lies as long as they make me feel good. Don't tell me the truth because that'll make me feel bad. It'll mean I have to change something. It means I might have to actually study something or do something other than watch TV or sports or get drunk or chase women. Or chase men. And that's a sad state of affairs. I'm sure our Father, as he looks down upon this situation, is despondent to some degree at the state of his creation. He looks at this beautiful world and what we've allowed the Jew to do to it. And people say, well, you can't blame the Jews. Well, they are the orchestrators. Okay, and people will tend to do whatever makes them money. All right, they're weak. People in general are weak. So when the Jew takes over control of money, he pretty much takes control of everything because the vast majority of people will do whatever makes money. That's a principle in this world. It's irrefutable. All right. If they want you to get married, they change the tax laws to where you get a benefit from being married. If they want you to stay unmarried, they change the tax laws to make it beneficial to file single. Things like that. You're being manipulated day in and day out, and many of you don't even realize it. When they want you to put poisons in your body, they put some kind of commercial on television, and the average person believes it. Never thinks about it, never questions it, never does any investigation. Oh, God forbid they actually pick up a pamphlet and read something. You see what I mean? This is the despotic and dystopic world that we now find ourselves in. And thank goodness, thank the good Lord above, Yahweh, that this is coming to an end soon. This insanity must come to an end. Now, everybody thinks that it's all up to Yahweh, and in some aspects it is, but we were given a mandate, we were given free will, and we were given the abilities to fix these problems. I kind of look at it the same way I do my family and my children, okay? I sired the children, I raised them, I paid for their education, their clothing, their housing, their food, and I instructed them in truths that I knew at the time. Well, when they reach the age of accountability, which is 20 years old, they're on their own. Now, what we do when we blame Yahweh, our Father, for all of this mishap, it would be the same as my children going out and blowing their life on drugs and fast living and all other kind of nonsense, and then come back and say, well, it's your fault, Dad. Why did you let this happen? I would just look at him and go, well, what the hell are you talking about? What do you mean? What did I do to you? I raised you. I tried to be a good example to you. I told you what was right and wrong. I told you the truths that I know, and you made the decision to go out and screw your life up. How the hell is that my fault? And yet that's exactly what's going on. And you and I, as little children, not necessarily the group that's here today, but people in general, behave the same way. They look at our Father in heaven as if he's responsible for all the negativity. And yet, you know what's really funny? Is when things go right for somebody, how often do they hit the bed that night with gratitude to the Father for what's going on? How many of them hit the bed that night self-absorbed at how smart they are, or how hardworking they are, or how inventive they are, rather than Yahweh blessed me? So he's okay to stay in the background when things are going good, but as soon as things go bad, oh, wait a minute, where were you? Why didn't you stop this? Why didn't you fix this? You see what I'm talking about? I'm here to tell you that's not who our Father is. He gave us the tools to fix the problems. The good news that I'm hearing is that there are many men and women who are now beginning to realize that we need to fix these problems. There is no white knight, there is no savior amongst men, and that includes this guy called Trump. There's no mortal man that's going to save you. We are his sons and daughters, and especially the sons, because it is the sons who are the warriors. It is the sons who are responsible for implementing the judgments written, as Psalm 149 tells us. The world is in the state it's in because the sons of the Most High have decided to not participate. And partly that's due to cowardice. It's partly due to lack of resources. It's also partly due to lack of leadership and possibly lack of a plan. Because our people seem to like to have all those things before they'll take a step forward. Even though Scripture tells us that we are to do the right thing as an individual, even if you're the only individual doing the right thing. So this collective body of warriors that our Father put upon this earth have been sitting back and kind of watching what's going on. We are closely coming to the point where the Father is going to issue the command to go forth. Ezekiel 37 talks about a righteous army coming up out of the valley of dead and dry bones, and that's exactly what we have today. The white race is a valley of dead and dry bones, spiritually speaking, and even physically speaking these days. There are not too many of them that look very healthy to me. But out of that mass of humanity, spiritually dead, Ezekiel tells us that he will ignite a spark within the bosom of our men to where they will realize that it is our duty to correct what is wrong in this world. Now, if Yahweh chooses to come down and assist in this effort, that's great, but it's still our job to do it, whether he decides to partake or not. You and I have the answers to these problems, especially when we come together as a group. The only thing that has been lacking is the desire to accomplish that task. Now, is our Father holding us back by causing us to be fearful, causing us to be hesitant? Oh, it could be. I'm not saying it isn't. But it's obvious that the men who can fix this problem have not felt that need to step forward, even with all of the ugliness, death, disease, rape, torture, murder, and what's happening to the Palestinians in Gaza is just a thumbnail of what has been going on for a long time. So at some point, our men have to decide that, you know, man-made government is not my king. Man-made government is not my judge. And they certainly are not the people that we should be obeying on a day-to-day basis. Worshipping, if you will, the beast. So when the men of Yahweh decide that this is enough, and Yahweh is in favor of it, which I believe to be very, very soon, that army of righteous men will come forth, a vast and mighty army. And you might say, well, we don't have the numbers. Really? What did he tell Gideon about numbers? What did he tell David about numbers? Numbers don't matter. As my father used to tell me, a man with conviction is a majority. You understand that? A man with conviction is a majority. So they will be vast as far as the number on the playing field right now, which is next to none. And they will be mighty because they will be filled with the spirit of Yahweh himself. And when our men are full of righteous indignation, there is no force on this earth that can stop them. The enemy knows that. Okay, that's why they are constantly putting all this bullshit on television and on your computer screens about all the drones and the directed energy weapons and all. Yeah, do they exist? Of course they do. But is there enough to stop us? No, there is not. That's why they want to constantly have you looking at nuclear weapons, which don't exist, by the way. Okay, because again, they want you fearful. They want you so afraid that you will not partake in the Yahweh desired reset of this world, that you will sit back fearful, timid, afraid to go forth. And so I believe it's our job to pray on a daily basis at this point, I would think, that our Heavenly Father will have had enough of this and call for the ending of it. It sickens me what I see going on. It sickens me at the destruction and death and misery that's brought about all by men, all by design, not by accident, not acts of nature, acts of men, evil men, men who wish to control other men, men who never have enough money or power. And you can throw women in that mix too. They are reprobates. They are despots. They are antichrists. And yes, the leader at the very top of this group of people that detest our Heavenly Father are these people called Jews. And the good news is the world is waking up to this like never, ever before. It is amazing to me. And that is another good sign that we are getting very close to the time spoken of in Scripture where, as Obadiah tells us, that our men become a flame and a fire, and they will consume the wicked, which is what Malachi tells us in chapters 3 and 4. And you can throw Ezekiel chapter 25 in there as well as a third witness to what is going to transpire. You can see that starting to happen, because once our men finally realize their responsibilities, when they finally realize that there is nothing stopping us fixing these problems except ourselves, the enemy does not have the power to stop you. He does not. As it says in Job and other books of Scripture, your adversary was given the power to deceive you. He was not given the power to overcome you. Now, those who do not walk with our Father Yahweh, now they are susceptible. And some of them have been actually hurt by these people. That's true. But I'm talking about his sons and daughters. The people that are of the Father and love the Father. That group of people, these adversaries, these shatans, satans, or devils, diablos, they all mean the same thing, adversary. These adversaries walk in shoe leather. They wear lab coats and stethoscopes. They appear in courts with three-piece suits on. They wear black robes behind benches. They wear badges and lead organizations of law enforcement and military. They are criminals. Yahweh has condemned them already. There's nothing that can be done to save them. He said that to the disciples when they said, why do you speak to us in parables? He said, because there are those here who might hear and listen and repent when they are condemned already. There are forces on this earth that are condemned already. There is no salvation for them. And so, as the beast in Scripture defines, the beast is constantly roaming the earth looking for those it can devour. And it will consume those who are weak completely. And so the white race, his sons and daughters, the Adamic peoples of this earth, are under a pressure today like never before. At least nothing I've ever read compares to it. The enemy is openly calling for the extermination of the white race. The enemies are openly taking over the white nations of this earth and replacing whites with non-whites and pushing the race-mixing agenda. You know, it's amazing to me that even in the truther community, people like Jeff Berwick and Mike Adams, etc., openly talk about the fact that they are race-mixers, but they don't see a problem with that. I'm here to tell you I see a problem with it. Okay? And I see a problem with it because my Heavenly Father sees a problem with it. The Scripture's full of condemnation for doing that. Science is full of studies that have been done as to why you don't do that. Okay? So the science and common sense tells you not to do it. Nature tells you not to do it. The Scriptures tell you not to do it. And for God's sakes, I would think the Holy Spirit would be telling you not to do it. So even with all that evidence and all of that persuasion, people still feel it's okay to just go out there and sleep with and have children with any old buddy they want. Well, as I say often, let me know how that works out for you. Because you're not only creating misery for your life, you're creating misery for that bastard, mamzer, half-breed, whatever you want to call it, child. Now, do I have animosity towards that child? No, I don't. Child had nothing to do with it. The mom and dad had everything to do with it. They're responsible for creating that mess. Now, Dan, you sound so, you know, upset and not very sympathetic. Well, yeah, I'm not, because, again, read the book. Look at nature. Think about what you're doing. You're creating something that Yahweh God said don't create. You're creating a new being by combining two pure beings. That's called adulteration. How in the hell do you not know that it's wrong? Even if you don't read the Bible where it says it's an abomination, how do you not know that it's wrong? And let me tell you, when you're out there and you're buying your pets and you're allowing your pets to interbreed, you're violating the same law. Do you know that? When you're crossbreeding your plants in your vineyards or in your garden, you're committing the same crime. It's called hybridation. And it is a crime. I had some ranchers and farmers in Michigan try to tell me years ago, oh, no, Dan, there's no problem with it. Particularly, I remember this one white guy. He was a rancher, and I was telling him it was wrong. And he said, oh, well, I crossbreed my cattle, so I have a better cow for producing milk. I said, really? I said, well, you know, I'm sure you think that's cool. I said, but I'm going to tell you it's wrong. He said, well, you know, now that you mention it, Dan, he goes, when we do that and the heifer is ready to have a child or a calf, we have to go out with our Jeeps and stay by that heifer all night long. I said, well, wait a minute. I grew up on a farm. We never had to do that. Why are you having to go out there and monitor this heifer about to have her calf? He said, well, we have to do that because she can't have the calf by herself. If we don't assist, the calf will be stillborn. It'll be born dead. And sometimes it can even kill the heifer. Now, listen to what I just said. Here's a rancher arguing with me that it's okay to mix breeds, and yet at the same time telling me that if he did not intervene with the birthing of this mongrel, that it would probably die. Do you see the irony here? This is the state of our people today. They can't even see what's in front of their own face. They buy into the ag department or the Jewish propaganda so much so that they turn away from what's in front of their faces. It's staring you right in the face. I've got books over here on my shelf that talk about the studies that were done that mongrelized children are going to have emotional and many times physical problems. Yeah, it's a fact. It's a fact. The same way traumatizing that baby child, that boy at near birth with the cutting off of his foreskin. And Ken O'Keefe put it very well. He said, you know, the foreskin on a man's sexual organ is equivalent to the clitoris of a woman. Isn't it funny how many women try to justify a child being circumcised, that it's, quote, cleaner, or they would prefer the look? Well, how many women would like it if men all of a sudden said, you know, I think it would look better and be kind of cleaner if we cut off your clitoris? How many women would be pro for that to happen? I'm just wondering. That's a bit graphic for some of you out there, perhaps, but it makes the point. The hypocrisy of our people today knows no bounds. Hypocrisy. It's kind of funny because, and I'm guilty of this, I had four sons, and I'm ashamed that I allowed that to happen to them, and I've apologized to them. I've apologized to them. I said, I committed sin, and I'm sorry I did that. I wish my father had not done it to me. Because as I grew up, I realized there was something not right. I don't need to go into the details of that, but all men's conference, I'm sure many of us could talk about this, but there were certain things as I was getting older and married and different things were happening. Something just didn't seem right. And that's what caused me to constantly look for years, many years, as to why are we doing this? And then, of course, getting into word studies in scripture, finding out that it has been adulterated, and getting a hold of medical people, especially once I learned natural health, that showed the truth about what you're doing to that child. Not only physically doing to him and how you're mutilating him and causing problems for him down the road, it is also a trauma, an extreme trauma to that child. Now think about this for just a minute. Here's a newborn babe. You've just come out of your mother's womb where you've spent 9 months listening to her breathe, listening to her heartbeat. The woman that gives you life. You've just come out, and the very first thing they want to do is cut the cord, the umbilical cord, which is pumping essential things into that child. You're not supposed to cut the cord right away. The Lamaze method and many of the other people that have been battling against this barbaric way that we have children today said it many years ago. That child should be laid upon its mother's chest and leave that cord alone until it withers up and it's done its job. You see, we can't seem to let anything happen the way Yahweh wants it to happen, can we? We have to do everything man's way, which is the wrong way. Everything we touch turns to shit. Have you noticed that? Because we think we can outsmart the Creator. We have a better way, and typically it's a Jewish way. The whole way of birthing a child is ass backwards today. And then to the boys, we go further and separate him from his mother, whom he has been inseparable from for 9 months. All of a sudden, strangers take him and strap him to a board and mutilate him. And you don't think that causes trauma? You don't think that causes some emotional problems for that man? And this does not even get into the botched circumcisions. I had a friend of mine turn me on to that particular topic. She had done some research and sent me the links to the articles, and I was appalled at the number of botched circumcisions that are performed. Everybody thinks, oh, it's just simple. Go in there and snip, snip, snip. Oh, it's all done. Yep, yep. Baby's fine. Didn't mind. You know, everything's cool. Yeah, right. No, that's not how it works. That's not the reality of it. It's like that piece of shit Fauci standing in front of a camera telling you the serum is okay. Or that piece of shit Trump telling you it's okay. You believe that? So when doctors and the people that make money off of what they're doing to your child tell you it's okay, do you believe it? Or do you sit in your prayer closet, talk to the Holy Spirit, and think about what you're doing? Think what it's doing to that child. The very people, and especially the mother, the very person that gave him life, he spent 9 months with, intimately, part of her body, has just allowed total strangers to commit this barbarism upon him. And you don't think there's going to be some resentment there? I love my mother. Don't get me wrong. We had a great relationship her entire life. But I'm also going to tell you that there is underlying resentment when a man finally realizes what was done to him. There is some resentment there. And everybody's different. Some men can take it better than others. But you look at the world we live in today, the chaos, the violence, the lack of faith in our Father, the lack of faith in mankind, the lack of empathy towards each other. Do you think possibly barbaric practices like this might have a little bit to do with that? Just a little bit, maybe? Especially here in North America, because we seem to be the dumbest of the white race in North America. We do it far more than our European cousins and Australian cousins. They don't do it very much at all. So that, I guess they learn much faster than we did. We think we're so damn smart here in North America when, I got news for you, we are the most propagandized, misled group of people on earth. Because the Jews run everything here. The medical field, your courts, your news, your media, everything, your government. Propaganda, propaganda, propaganda. And who makes money off of these lies? But at the top of the list is the Jew. Because they know there's going to be emotional problems and possibly some mental problems, so they jump in with what? Psychology and psychiatry. Sigmund Freud, Jew, which is all bullshit. The whole psychiatry and psychology is total, 100% bullshit. You want to find out why people do what they do and what's going on, go read the scriptures. Go to your prayer closet and talk to the Father directly. What the hell are you going to a Jew to find out about why you do or not do what things that you do? Why in the hell would you talk to Satan's kids? But people do it. Pay them good money for it, too. And, of course, the government, since the kikes run that as well, they're in bed with each other. And so the first thing they want to do is claim somebody's mentally ill because they know that Shlomo down the street, The Sigmund Freuds down the street will jump right in on the bandwagon and go right along with their Jewish cousins over at the courthouse. And the white race suffers for it and sits back going, what are we going to do about it, Dan? What are we going to do about it? Well, how about stop listening to these assholes? And maybe, just maybe, the day will come when white men will come together, put their differences aside, stop the backbiting, stop the backstabbing, stop the gossiping, stop this, I got to agree with you 100% on every single issue, before I will allow you to be my, quote, leader or even a co-combatant. The enemy doesn't feel that way. They have plenty of arguments, but they stand together as a unit against you. Very effectively what they've done to the white race. But the white race still hasn't figured out how to do it for themselves. They haven't figured out how to stand together as a unit. They're half the white race is ashamed of being white. That's how much propaganda they've given. Can you believe that? White people actually ashamed of being white? White people going out and marrying non-whites? What the hell? Now, for the whites that do these things, it makes me wonder, maybe they're not pure white. Or maybe they're part Jew. And if they are part Jew, then of course they have no problem with it. They're quite comfortable with violating God's law. But the problem is we have the plague, as it says in the book of Numbers and elsewhere. We have the plague upon us that comes from violation of this law. When Phinehas put the spear down through the prince of Jacob Israel, who was in the act of race mixing, he and thousands of other men put many thousands of Israelites to death that day for the sin of race mixing. What does the scripture say about Phinehas and the men that did that? Does it condemn them? No, it does not. In fact, it says that he was blessed in perpetuity, Phinehas and his posterity were blessed in perpetuity, meaning forever. Why? Because they were zealous for the law of God over the laws of men, and they took action. And it says the plague was lifted from Jacob Israel. The plague. What was the plague? The results that you get from race mixing, the violence, the dystopia in your society, the shutdown of all the things at work, like the family, the nuclear family, common sense law, people having integrity, because mixed breed people don't have those things. In general, there may be one or two exceptions, but the vast majority do not have them. And that is substantiated by scientific reports, again, that I have sitting on my shelf over here. You want to know why so many people act totally bizarre, have no empathy, no care? Well, many of them are half-breeds. It's kind of funny. We have people talking about all kind of truth today, but one of the things they talk very little about is the subject of race mixing. Two huge things that the enemy put upon Jacob Israel, the Caucasian people, and that is, of course, race mixing, but also the mutilation of our males. The white man is being put down like never before in the media, in entertainment, in sports, you name it. Economically, socially, in the workplace. And he's further put down with this barbaric practice of circumcision. And yet very few people, until I heard Ken O'Keefe and Stu Peters talk about it. So it is starting to get out there. The fact that we have been very vocal about these things is starting to percolate through the body of Yahshua. His sons and daughters are starting to see the light. But I think this is going to be a big year. Many people are putting out the message that things are going to start turning this year, some for the worse, but some for the better. And we told you about this over a decade ago. At the end of this age, as the judgments come upon this earth, it is going to bring righteousness and blessings to his children when it brings death, violence, and ultimate judgment upon the heads of the wicked. That day is coming. Nature herself, even without Yahweh involvement, on this plane we call Earth, there are laws of nature. They are immutable laws. And we are violating those laws. So even if there was no Bible, there's no God of the Bible. If you violate the immutable laws of nature, you will pay a price. I'll throw one anecdote in here before we go. My dear sister, who has departed this world thanks to the medical mafia, had seven dogs, and the mom and the father were two different breeds. They're both small dogs. So one was a Chihuahua, and I can't remember what the other one is. But they were allowed to breed, and they created five pups. And because of circumstances, my sister ended up keeping all the dogs. So seven dogs, five of which were mongrels. So even within her household, there was basically a real life lesson to be taught about why you don't race mix, why you don't mix breeds. Because all five of those pups had major health issues. They weren't all the same. I remember one of the female pups eventually got a curved spine and her back legs stopped working. Another had vision problems and eye issues constantly. Another had digestive issues its whole life. So it wasn't like these dogs lived this idyllic existence on this earth. And because my sister loved them, she would go to great lengths to preserve their life when they probably would have died at early ages in nature because of their significant problems. So what she actually did was prolonged their agony. Do we do that to our own loved ones sometimes? Prolong their agony because we're too weak to face the inevitable? I've seen it. What the hospital calls a merciful death is not merciful, folks. I've been through it too many times to tell. When I watched how they, quote, mercifully end somebody's life, it made me even more of a warrior to try to bring down the medical mafia. It is cruel. It is inhuman, but it makes them lots of money, and it gives them total control. You see, you can't end your loved one's life. Oh, that would be murder, but they can do it over the period of 6 or 7 days, and that's okay, because they're approved to commit murder. Oh, they call it palliative care. Now, there's no care about it. They simply dope you up with morphine as they starve you to death. Let me know how you feel about that, if that's ever done to you. I watched it for my mother and my sister and my nephew. That was enough for me. You may think I'm wrong, and you have a right to think that. You can think whatever you wish. I'm not your judge. Yahweh is. I'm just telling you what came to me as I witnessed these things, and I realize how much of what we do is so criminal and so ugly in the eyes of a loving Father who created this beautiful world and created this beautiful thing called a human body. It's a magnificent machine when it's treated right. Magnificent. And the relationships between men and women are magnificent. when they're done according to his rules. We don't do that either, by the way. Today's marital situation is atrocious. A complete failure. Why? Because it's nothing biblical about it at all. Nothing we do today is biblical, if you think about it. So I've spent a lifetime to study what his ways are so that I, at least to myself, would know where did we go wrong. How that plays out in the end here, I really don't know. I don't know. All I know is that I promised the Father a long time ago to tell the people the truth as I learn truth. And it saddens me that it took me so long to learn some of these things. It really does. I am repentant of the mistakes I've made, the people I've hurt, the things that I've done that I'm ashamed of, truly ashamed of, that I could have been a much better man if I had just learned faster, sooner, and had more willpower to do what's right and not give in to the flesh. And we're all capable of those things, by the way. If you give in to the power of Yahweh and the Holy Spirit, your life gets so much better. So much better. This misery we see around us is due to disobedience. And I keep waiting to hear these content creators come up with, let's get back to God's law, which I am very happy that Ken O'Keefe and Stu Peters did talk about that. Man's law is of no effect. It is wrong. 99% of the time, just dead wrong. How many people are crying out that we repent of our errors and let's get back to obeying our Father, living our lives according to His dictates and not our own or those of other people? He created this world. He created us. Do you think He might know what's best for us? I think He does. I think it works. I know I mentioned an open forum time, but I'm going to be quite honest. I don't feel that good right now. And so if you don't mind, I'm going to forego that. We'll do that on Wednesday night. And again, we ask for prayers for Ella as she recovers from her mishap, and praise Yahweh that healing is taking place and that it was not worse than it was. I would ask and covet your prayers for me, that He leads me to discover what's going on with me so that I can fix that as well. But we are in the beginning of the turning period right now. It's crucial that we stick together as a family. It's crucial, folks. Forget all the backbiting. Remember the scriptures about forgiving 70 times 7. Remember the scriptures about turning your cheek to those who would offend you. Okay? Those are scriptures for you and I. Those are not scriptures for the aliens amongst us. There's nothing that compels me to turn my cheek to the non-white or the alien out here. No. Or even the white person that's an atheist or Satan worshiper. No. Or to forgive 70 times 7. No. But to you and me and to our family here, our spiritual family, yes. We are compelled to do that. To keep our fellowship. Because this family unit, working together, communicating with each other, sharing our hopes and our dreams and our concerns for each other, that is what gives us strength. And not the least of which, praying for each other. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters. We also thank you that this message is going out to thousands, perhaps millions of other people. These are your words, Father, wisdom coming from you, not from me. And we just pray that wisdom would get into the ears of those it's meant to and change the hearts of our people. Turn them away from their wicked ways and turn them back to you, which is where truth and happiness and health and prosperity lie. Not in the dictates of men, not in the force of power of law enforcement and militaries. They are all tools of the wicked. Have our men repent and become warriors again, Father, and burn righteous indignation into their souls, that they are tired of the lawlessness upon this earth. We can fix this, Father. Take us by the hand and lead us as we go forward. Raise up the leaders that you want for our people and have our people recognize them as leaders and be willing, as they followed Moses out of Egypt. Let them follow your selected individuals out of this abyss, out of this Babylonian hell, as you prepare to burn it to the ground. Be with us and guide us, Father Yahweh, each and every day. Forgive us our sins and our transgressions, and help us to help others. We ask and pray in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.